In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come to this blessed time of Christmas, and we want to make it fruitful. Not only the day of Christmas, but this whole Christmas season, as we contemplate and give thanks for your presence among us. You are born in that humble stable in Bethlehem. And St. Luke records the scene. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. That simple account, Lord, of your birth in those humble circumstances of a stable, where you would be laid in the feeding trough of the animals, the manger, wrapped in those swaddling cloths. In ancient times, they would wrap the baby around and round with a narrow band of cloth to keep the limbs straight. Today, mothers swaddle their babies too, loosely wrapped in a blanket. And Pope Benedict XVI, in his book on your infancy, in the series Jesus of Nazareth, comments that those swaddling cloths, in a way, prefigure the cloths that would wrap your body in the tomb. You had come to die for us. You had come to redeem us. And you are God. And when you came into the world and were wrapped in those swaddling cloths, Mary and Joseph would just look at you in wonder, in contemplation. And we do that too when we pray before the Nativity scene, looking at this tiny, helpless infant, who are you, God Almighty. And they knew who you were, not just another baby, but God in the flesh. And St. John writes in those familiar words at the beginning of his Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." You are the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, through whom this universe was made. And John goes on, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." You came to give us supernatural life. And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." This Word that you are, this eternal Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took flesh, took human nature in the womb of Mary, and were born in that humble circumstance of a stable. You are God. And naturally, Mary and Joseph, looking at you, would know this is not just another child. This is God in the flesh. And the angel had said that to Mary in the Annunciation. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, which means Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end, to reign over the kingdom of David. But David's kingdom came to an end, followed by Solomon's, because earthly kingdoms always come to an end. But Lord, of your kingdom there will be no end, because your kingdom is not of this world. It is the kingdom of God, your reign in souls forever. And then when Mary asks, how will this be, since I do not know man? The angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will be the way in which Mary conceives you. You will not be conceived by Joseph, for then you would be just man. But you are both God and man. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, is the way you come into Mary's womb. And the power of the Most High, the power of the Father, the power of God, will overshadow Mary. And the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Son of God. And Mary and Joseph know that, and they look on you in wonder. And Lord, help us in this Christmas season to adore you too. Oh, come, let us adore him. We sing in that beautiful Christmas carol, adoring you who are God as a helpless infant. And if we ask the question, why are you here? Why do we have Christmas? Why did you take flesh? And the answer, of course, goes back to that original sin of our first parents. God, in his love, created human beings in his image and likeness, Adam and Eve, and gave that commandment not to eat of the fruit of only one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they disobeyed out of pride and ate, thinking that they would know good and evil. And they came to know sin and its consequences. But Lord, you didn't destroy them. You promised them a Redeemer. And we remember those words in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, verse 15, where God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Enmity between Eve and the serpent, and between her offspring, ultimately Jesus, and the offspring of the serpent. And Christ would crush your head, and you would lie in wait for the heel of the servants of men. God would ultimately triumph, and Lord, that is why you came, to be that Word made flesh, to love us so much that you died on the cross for us, to restore us to friendship with God, to reconcile us, to redeem us. And this is your love. And as St. John writes in those familiar words in the third chapter of his Gospel, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved this world so much. He sent his only begotten Son. Lord, you took flesh in the womb of Mary to be amongst us, to redeem us. And St. John goes on, for God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This is why we have Christmas, because God so loved this world, this sinful world, this world of creatures like all of us, who sin, who don't want to sin, but we do, out of weakness and sometimes out of malice. But you forgive us. You are so good. And how can we not love you? How can we not adore you and thank you for becoming man on this Christmas day, in this Christmas season, and always? And God loves this world with those two principal forms of love, of which Pope Benedict speaks in his encyclical God is Love. You love us with eros, that passion, that romance. And why would you love sinful creatures when you are God Almighty? But you do. And eros, as Pope Benedict says, is possessive. It draws the beloved into oneself. And you drew mankind into your divine self in the person of the Word. He took flesh, and in baptism we are members of his body. We are drawn into the Godhead. We become children of God. But then eros is purified and elevated by agape, by that self-giving, sacrificial love. And if eros draws the beloved into oneself, agape empties oneself of oneself to serve, to sacrifice oneself for the other. And this is what you did on the cross. How much you love us. And this incarnation, this birth of yours in Bethlehem, brings us so many blessings. The Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks of them, beginning in paragraph 457. It says, the Word became flesh for us in order to save us by reconciling us with God, who loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. You loved sinful mankind so much that you became man to redeem us. And in the next point, the Word became flesh so that thus we might know God's love. Because, Lord, you are love in the flesh. So much did God love us sinners that he sent you, his undefiled, eternal, almighty Son, to redeem us. We know God's love when we look at you. And that point in the Catechism goes on. First, to quote the first letter of St. John, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And then quoting the passage that we just read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And a third blessing. In the next paragraph, the Word became flesh to be our model of holiness. Lord, holiness is love, love for you, but you loved us first, and all we need to do is look at you and learn from you, and we learn how to be a saint, to do as you did, to empty ourselves for others, to serve them, to love our fellow man as you have loved us. You gave us that new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. You loved us with that love of sacrifice, of self-giving. help us to do that, to love our neighbor. And we learn how to love by your incarnation being our model of holiness. And the fourth blessing that the Catechism mentions, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature, that we would share in your divine nature by becoming members of your body. You are the Son of God, and when we are baptized into your mystical body, we become sons of God in the Son. Every member of your body is you, is the Son. And the Catechism goes on to quote a number of passages. The first from Saint Irenaeus, "For this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into communion with the Word, and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a Son of God." And then a quote from Saint Athanasius, "For the Son of God became man, so that we might become God." An awesome truth. We become truly God in you because you loved us so much. You made us children, sons and daughters of God the Father. And Lord, we thank you for becoming man, for giving us yourself at Christmas, giving us that first Christmas gift, the gift of yourself. You said that to the Samaritan woman at the well. And we see this in the fourth chapter of St. John's Gospel. You said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," and Lord, you are that gift. And help us to thank you for giving us yourself as that first Christmas present. Children might ask their parents, "Why do we give gifts at Christmas?" And the first answer that comes to everyone's mind is because the wise men gave you those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But why did they come with those gifts? To respond to that primordial gift, which is God giving us the gift of the Son. And Lord, how can we respond to this great blessing of the gift of yourself to mankind? First, to be grateful, to thank you, and to tell you many times, especially now in this Christmas season, thank you for becoming man, for coming to dwell amongst us, to show us your love, to show us the way to heaven, to redeem us by your death on the cross. Everything speaks to us of love, and we can only be grateful. And then to receive you into our life. You have given us the gift, but some do not receive it. They do not accept it. And St. John says in the first chapter of his Gospel, "The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not." And Lord, you've come into this world, your home, but your people did not receive you. Help me to receive you, to welcome you into my life. You are in my soul in the state of grace. And help me to talk to you, to speak to you, which is prayer, to live in your presence, to speak to you many times a day. Lord, thank you for this. Lord, help me with the other. Lord, I love you. To take you in our arms, as St. Jose Maria did in my years in Rome. I had two Christmases with him in Rome in the early 1960s, and he would take the child Jesus in his arms and rock you throughout the get-together, whispering loving things to you. We do that too, at least in our heart, to say loving things to you. Lord, I love you. You love me. Why would you love me, this poor sinner that I am? But you do. I can love you because you are God incarnate, because you are the sinless one, because you are love. God is love, St. John writes in his first letter. Let us love you. Let us receive you. And especially for those who don't love you, who don't receive you, we love you all the more. And loving is doing your will. It is not sweet words. And you said that in the Gospel of St. Matthew in the 7th chapter. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Sweet words are not love. They can be an expression of love, but they must be backed up by deeds, by doing your will. And you say that to the apostles in the Last Supper. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is to say, you will do my will. You will do not what you feel like, but what I am asking of you. And what I ask of you is for your good, is for your holiness, is to help you to store up treasure in heaven and to be with me forever in that room that I have prepared in the Father's house. Lord, you love us. Help us to do your will, and help us throughout the day when we are tempted to do our own thing, to follow our own whim, what we feel like at the time, to think, what is God asking of me? Not, what do I feel like, but what does God want me to do? And sometimes what you want will be different from what we felt like. And then give us the love to do your will. And afterwards, we have that joy of being closer to you, doing your will, not our own. We love you too. We respond to your gift by giving ourselves to others, giving ourselves to you through others. And you said it. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. Our service to others is service to you, is loving you, is showing our gratitude for your gift of yourself to us. Christmas is a time of giving gifts. We all love to do that, to make something or to buy something, to wrap it up. Perhaps put a ribbon around it and a little card to give it to someone else and see their joy at that gift that we have given them. But the best gift is ourself. And it is not true love to give someone a gift nicely wrapped with lots of love and then not to help them when they are in need. And this happens so often in families. The children can give gifts to their parents, but they don't obey when the parents are asking them to do something. Christmas is a time of giving, and Lord, help us to give ourselves, to be available, to have that spirit of service, to be generous, not just to give the gifts that we wrap up, but to give the gift of ourselves and to give until it hurts, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say. Be generous. Go out of our comfort zone. This is the best way to live Christmas in the family and with so many others, to give of ourselves, to show them that we really love them, and to give with a smile. Not begrudgingly, always with that cheerfulness. Christmas is a time of joy, joy to the world. The Lord is come. We sing in that Christmas carol, joy to the world. Yes, because you have come, because you have given us yourself as that first gift. You are amongst us. You are within us. How can we not be happy? But sometimes we put on that long face. We complain. about the work that we have to do. Let us do whatever needs to be done. And with a smile, that we give that joy to others, beginning in the family and then extending outside the family too. Because we may have relatives that we can visit in the nursing home or in the hospital or bring them home with us for Christmas. Those people that are alone, that otherwise will celebrate Christmas on their own, and we can invite them home with us and make them have a happy Christmas too. Because we have thought of them, and we have gone out of our way to make them have a truly happy Christmas. And amongst the ways of helping others is to bring them closer to you through the sacrament of penance. Those Catholics that haven't been to confession for a long time, and at Christmas time to invite them, "Would you like to go to confession? I'm going, I can take you with me." Help them to prepare. And when they finally go to confession after a long time, they experience that great joy that floods their soul, the joy of being once again united with God, with this gift of Christ in their very soul, in their stable. And that's all we are, a stable. But when we clean out that stable through our deeds of penance and the sacrament of penance, we experience that joy and we help others to experience it too. That we bring you to others by our very presence, by our very kindness, generosity, self-giving. And then we too give joy to others. And we see that so clearly in the visitation of Mary to her aging relative Elizabeth. St. Luke records the scene. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy.'" And Lord, we can bring you to others by our presence, by our kindness, by our smile, by the gift of ourselves serving them. Then we too bring them joy because we have brought them you. And the source of joy is always you. We find joy when we find a good. And yes, we find many joys here on earth with those finite goods, a good meal, a good film, a good holiday. And you are the infinite good. And we can only find the truest, fullest joy when we are close to you. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And Lord, when we have you in our soul, you in our heart, we have the greatest good, the infinite good, and we find the greatest happiness. But help us to share that happiness with others by inviting them to come to you too, especially through the sacrament of penance. And then the Eucharist, in which you dwell in our soul, in our heart. We ask Our Lady, Mary, you welcomed Christ into your life and into the world. You said yes to the angel, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Help us to show our gratitude to Christ for giving us the gift of himself by welcoming him into our life as you did, and then bringing him as you did into the lives of those around us, that all may have a truly happy Christmas. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.